Well, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans and chapter 8. And it's in the bulletin, 1 Peter chapter 1, but I've chosen to do a different passage instead. So I think we'll wait for a later date. That rhymes, doesn't it? Romans 8, verses 5 to 8 is what we're going to look at tonight. Having the right mindset. So please turn there in your Bibles. In fact, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. So let us give careful attention to God's word. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful once again to be here together to worship you, to be fed by your word, to sing your praises, to call upon your name. Lord, we know that corporate worship is so important. And that is why we are here. And we just pray that you would continue to guide our worship. We pray that you would just quiet our hearts, that we would attend to your word. Help me to preach clearly and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me unction, and I just pray that you would be with each person here tonight, all these dear saints. And Lord, I just pray that you would honor your word, that you would glorify your name. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me begin by saying your mind matters. Your thoughts matter. Maybe you've heard the saying before, and we can kind of deduct this from Scripture: you are what you think. You are what you think. Now just imagine for a moment, or could we say think for a moment, how many thoughts you have in just one day. One day, 24 hours. Many, many thoughts. The mind is so amazing. We all think a lot. Some of us think more than others, but we all think a lot. We're constantly using our minds. In fact, the average person has over 6,000 thoughts per day. Now, some of you are very active physically, and that's a good thing. You're always doing something. And then some of you are not so active physically. We're going to differ when it comes to that, but the vast majority of us, and probably all of us, have active minds. We're always thinking. The big question is this: what are we thinking? Remember when I was growing up, there were times where my parents would take us somewhere, and as kids, and we weren't all that interested in it. They didn't do that very often. Most of the time we were interested, and I was just kind of, I guess I had a zest for life and just enjoyed doing different things. But when it came to those things that I wasn't that interested in, I remember kind of preparing myself, thinking I'm going to combat my boredom by thinking about something exciting. And so for me, usually that had to do with sports. So thinking can produce joy, it can produce excitement, it can take us back to places we've been before, memories and so on. But thinking can also get us down. It can get us depressed and discouraged. Again, the point is we all think a lot. And we have to ask ourselves this question: what is our mindset? What are we thinking about? Now, the context for verses 5 to 8, of course, is verses 1 to 4, the starting point in chapter 8. We haven't been working through the book of Romans. But in verse 1 there, it's a very, very important verse. And Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." So if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, there's no condemnation for you. None whatsoever. And that's an amazing thing. The last thing that we want to be is condemned. And that's why we're so quick to defend ourselves. But for the one who is in Christ, he or she is not guilty at all. And that is based upon the atoning work of Christ. It's not based on your own performance, your own righteousness. It's based on what Christ, what God in Christ has done on your behalf. God has done what the law could not do by sending his one and only Son. So for those who live according to the flesh, this is verse 5, they have their minds set on the things of the flesh. You live according to the flesh, that means you've set your minds on the things of the flesh. But to live according to the Spirit, those who live according to the Spirit, it's the opposite. They have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. So right off the bat in this passage, we see a clear contrast. On the one hand, those who set their minds on the things of the flesh, and on the other hand, those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's this contrast. Now, one of the things that we are prone to, simply because of the age that we live in, is this whole notion of shades of gray. So rather than black and white, we like to think in terms of shades of gray. In fact, there was a best-selling series of books, not good, not wholesome, but that was what it was called, Shades of Gray, if I remember correctly. Well, brothers and sisters, Scripture offers no shades of gray, none whatsoever. It is black and white. And there is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as falsehood and error. Now, this word flesh is used. The word flesh. And the Bible uses the word in different ways. We might think of 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. Paul is basically saying that even though we're alive, we are flesh and blood creatures, we're embodied, we don't wage war, we don't fight our battles in that realm. So it has to do more with physical existence. But that's not how our term, or this, I should say, the term in our passage is used. Paul is using the Greek word for flesh, which is the word sarx. And it's not to describe this muscular tissue that covers our skeletons, which we call flesh, but to refer to our corrupt, to our unredeemed nature. That is our fallen, egocentric, sin-dominated self. So when we read this passage, we must think of flesh in terms of the earthly part of man. Our lusts, our desires that are worldly, that are carnal, that are not of God. So again, this clear, unmistakable contrast between the mind set on the flesh and the mind set on the Spirit. Here's the big question, the question that we'll come back to again and again. Where is your mindset? What is your mindset? What are the contents of your thoughts? What do you do, what do you think about when you're not thinking about anything in particular? Where does your mind drift off to? What is the default setting of your mind? We have a lot of thoughts. We think many different things, no doubt. And all throughout the day and even in the night as we're maybe not sleeping. And the fact of the matter is we tend to think about those things that we find compelling and captivating. So what is it that dominates your thought patterns? The things of God or the things of the flesh, worldly things? And that's what this verse and this passage is forcing us to consider. And here's what we need to know and understand. The unregenerate, unbelieving mind is set on the flesh. On the other hand, the regenerate mind, the person who's been born again, is set on the Spirit, the things of God. That's their mindset. So your thoughts and your mindset are going to tell you a lot about your spiritual health, your spiritual condition. Now, as a pastor, there's been several times down through the years where I've asked people, tell me about your walk with the Lord. And maybe it was a church attender, maybe not. And generally, I get two responses. I ask them, tell me about Jesus, your walk with the Lord, your relationship to Him. And on the one hand, you have people that just light up. They are excited. They can't wait to tell you about this person that is so wonderful to them. They talk about how they're growing in the Lord. And there's kind of this relationship, this friendship. Jesus is precious to them. On the other hand, there are those who don't know what to say. There's kind of a deadness to their answer. Now, they might choke out an answer, but there's little substance to it. So what's going on there? Well, on the one hand, you have someone who's thinking about the Lord regularly, setting their minds on things above, growing in grace, that Jesus is becoming more precious to them. And that's why they're excited to talk about Him. On the other hand, this second group, that has virtually no relationship with the Lord. Now, they might have a form of religion. In fact, sometimes they're very consistent and regular in their church attendance. But the fact of the matter, if you dig deep, is that their minds are set on the flesh. It's not of the Spirit of God. Well, we grieve to hear that. And as I have listened to that over the years, I want to say, don't you realize what you're missing? Jesus is better. He's so much better. He is the pearl of great value. He's the lily of the valley. On and on we could go talking about Jesus and all His attributes and why He is so excellent and glorious. But don't miss the contrast that we find there in verse 5. Well, look at verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. To be carnally minded is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. This is somewhat similar to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is life. One mindset leads to death, the other to life, to eternal life and peace. Now please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. This is once again from the Apostle Paul. And And we're going to see a contrast here. We're going to see what the flesh produces. That's the first part of the passage. And then the second part of the passage, we're going to see what the Spirit produces, life in the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? So look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, against the Spirit, pardon me, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So again, we see this contrast. On the one hand, you have the works of the flesh. And essentially, that is death. That is destruction. It's the last thing that we would ever want. But then, in verse 22, we see life in the Spirit. We see the fruit of the Spirit. And sandwiched in between there is this sober warning. If you live by the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom. One of the big headlines last year was the deep sea submarine that imploded while descending to explore the wreck of the Titanic. Maybe you remember that. It's not quite a year ago that happened. But it was very sad, very tragic. 5 people lost their lives. And what makes the story even more tragic is that there were several warnings given in advance. This was a new submarine. It was named Titan, and it was made of composite materials that were lighter than steel, but supposedly just as strong. Now, you have to remember, you have to understand that the Titanic is 12,000 feet below sea level. So that's over 2 miles deep. And by the time they get to the bottom, to the seafloor, that's an enormous amount of pressure that submarine has to hold up. And sadly, it didn't go through the standard testing procedures, and many experts deemed it unsafe. There were actually 2 people. There was a father and a son who backed out just a few weeks in advance of the dive. So they heard the warnings, and they heeded the warnings. But sadly, 2 other people filled their place. So it's a tragic, tragic story. And we know that Scripture gives us plenty of warnings. They're plain and clear, just like what we find in verse 6. The question is, will we heed them? The mind that is set on the flesh is death. So if the thoughts of our hearts and our mindset is characterized by the flesh, that is a sign. That's going to lead us to death. Well, what does this look like in the here and now? How does the path to death manifest itself in everyday living? And the last 2 verses give us an answer. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It's carnally minded. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It can't. The fleshly mindset is 3 things. First of all, it's hostile to God. That is to say, It's anti-God. That is to say, it's self-absorbed. So if you're fleshly minded, you're going to think a lot about yourself. You're going to be absorbed with yourself. And therefore, that will translate into being hostile to God. Secondly, it does not submit to God's law. It doesn't submit to the authority of the Word of God. There's this rebelliousness that characterizes the mindset on the flesh. And Paul explains that it cannot submit to God's law. The heart of the unregenerate man or woman does not submit to God's rule and authority. It just resists it. It wants to go its own way. And then finally, Paul concludes, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When you think of a Christian, you might think of many things. But here's one thing that we should think of. A Christian is someone who desires to please God. We know that there are times where we will grieve the Spirit of God. There are times where we will disobey, but there is that desire, that God-given, Spirit-induced desire to please our Heavenly Father. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But again, we see the contrast here. This is a passage that's filled with contrast. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Jump ahead a few pages to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I want to just briefly look at another familiar passage. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not in your own strength, but by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So don't be conformed to this world, to its patterns, but be transformed by renewing your mind. So what that tells us is that there's this link between head and heart. And down through history, people have emphasized one over the other. And I've heard that a lot before. Maybe you have too. Some have emphasized the mind and they're deeply into studying the Bible, and of course that's a good thing, but they've failed to see how that connects to everyday Christian living. So it's all about knowledge to them. On the other hand, you have those who emphasize the heart, but they don't see any place for the life of the mind. They don't value doctrine and Bible study and being grounded in the truth. Well, friends, Scripture won't let us slip into either one of those extremes. We can't do that. We must see the value of both head and heart and how they're united, how they're meshed together. So it starts with the mind being transformed by the renewal of our minds. God has given us this amazing gift. And as I said, we have many, many thoughts, thousands of thoughts every day. We're to use our minds well for the glory of God. Just think, we've been set above all the living creatures in the world. All the creatures, there's thousands, probably millions of creatures. Why are we above them? Well, you might say that we're image bearers. We bear that divine stamp of God. But we've been set above because we have the ability to reason, to use our minds in ways that the animal world can't. They operate on instinct primarily. But we've been set apart. We've been set above. We are image bearers, and we are to use our minds for the glory of God, and we are to set our minds on things above. So when it comes to having our minds set on the Spirit, we must understand the centrality of the Scriptures. We can't live the Christian life and not hear from God. We can't live the Christian life and not have the Holy Spirit of God interpret the Word of God. So God has revealed Himself to us through the Scriptures. Yes, God has revealed Himself through what we call general revelation. That is to say, the whole of creation. But even more importantly, God has revealed Himself through His Word. He's spoken. He's not silent. And this does imply that we must use our minds. John Stott wrote a helpful little book called Your Mind Matters. Your Mind Matters. I don't know if you ever read that before. Small little book, but very helpful. And he writes, "The Christian doctrine of revelation, far from making the human mind unnecessary, actually makes it indispensable and assigns to it its proper place. God has revealed Himself in words to minds." Think about that. God reveals Himself in words to minds. His revelation is a rational revelation to rational creatures. Our duty is to receive His message, to submit to it, to seek to understand it, and to relate it to the world in which we live. So God has revealed Himself to us in a rational way, in an understandable way. This book that we call the Bible, even though it's ancient, it's 2,000 years old or more, if you go back to the Old Testament. But yet, we know that the Bible is clear, it's concise. Theologians will talk about the veracity of Scripture, the clarity of Scripture, the truthfulness of Scripture. But we must use our minds. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:7, we looked at this a few weeks ago when we were in that passage, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Think over what I say. So we need to do our part. We need to think, but we also must rely upon the Holy Spirit. We need the illumination of the Spirit. So every time we open our Bibles, every time we engage in Bible study, every time we listen to a sermon, we do this. We think over what we've just heard. We pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in us to give us that illumination, that understanding. I love what it says in Psalm 119. We were just singing from that great chapter. But in verse 18, it says this, "Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." That was David's prayer. And it should be our prayer. We must constantly ask God to teach us, to give us insight and understanding. Now, when I look at you, I'm so thankful for the work of grace in your life and how God has been growing in you year after year after year. But He's not done with you. He's not finished. This side of heaven, there's still a work of grace that needs to be done in you and me. We need to be sanctified. And our mind matters. It really does. There is a place for the mind in God's plan. Well, I trust you're starting to see that the primacy of the mind. We can't just discard it and say that we're going to be heart people and love Jesus and sing Kumbaya and yet not think at all. Most of our problems in life stem from the fact that we have a wrong view. We're just not thinking correctly. And so we need to change our thinking. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So that is to say, we fence in or fence off every thought. We take inventory of our thought life. And so if it's not of God, if it's carnally minded, then we renounce it. And we ask for God's deliverance so that we might not go down those thought patterns. We want to think God's thoughts. We want our minds to be set on the things of God. And you know, there's so many verses that pertain to this. So many more verses. We've looked at several. But just consider Colossians chapter 3. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Paul goes on to say, set your minds on things above. Now, this is where I want to be careful. I don't want this message just to be, look at your thought life. It's probably lacking in some areas. You just need to spice it up a little bit. You need to think more about God, less about the world, and maybe watch a little less TV, and you'll be fine. Now, I'm not saying those are bad. We probably do watch too much TV, most of us. But if we follow that track and that message, it can be more about moralism and works righteousness than about grace, than about the gospel and about the power of God. So I don't want to simply leave you with that kind of message. It's because it's void of the gospel. It's void of the Spirit. Look again at verse 7. The mind that is set on the flesh, or that's carnally minded, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So the first step, perhaps for some of you, it may not be just to improve your thought life. Maybe the first step for some of you is to be born again. That is to say that you can't do this apart from God. You need God in your life. Your mind is set on the flesh. It doesn't submit to God's law. And the reason is pretty simple. It can't. That's not its nature. It's unregenerate. It's unredeemed. And that won't change until God enters the picture, until God comes into your life and changes you and gives you life. So you must call upon the name of the Lord. You must repent and believe in the gospel. Now, we know that the believer is justified by faith in the finished work of Christ. And there's no condemnation, as we said, at all. Through their faith, through your faith, you are declared righteous in Christ. And there's nothing that can stand against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? So there's absolutely no condemnation. But the fruit of that life is a mind that is set on the Spirit of God. It's a mind that embraces the things of God. It loves what God loves. It hates what God hates. And in due time, it shows forth the fruit of the Spirit. And it does so in increasing measure. And when I look at saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I see that work of grace in them, it's such a joy. I love it. Now, we live in a culture where people look at the Christian and they look at the non-Christian and they don't see a whole lot of difference. That's sometimes the case. But in reality, when it comes to the true people of God, there is a difference. There's a very stark difference. If anyone is in Christ, He or she is a new creation. Why? Well, it's right there in the verse. The old is gone. Behold, all things are new. You are a new creature in Christ. And what a glorious thing. So yes, please take inventory of your thought life. That's going to be indicative. It's going to tell you a lot about where you're at in your walk with the Lord. We want to follow the pattern of Scripture. Whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, that's what we want to think about. That is what is pleasing in the sight of God. That is the fruit of a life that's been redeemed and born again. So look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, our precious Savior. There's a man who lived a life, and just like us, he was constantly thinking, but his thoughts were pure and holy. And we're going to fall short of that. We will every day. But we want our thoughts, we want our minds renewed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So look to the Lord Jesus, our precious Savior, day by day by day. Look to Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us minds, rational minds. We thank you that we can think, and Lord, that we can reason and all the things that our minds allow us to do. It is a great gift, but Lord, we know that we can use our minds in ways that are not pleasing to you. So just convict us where conviction is needed. And I do pray if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that has never been born again to a living hope, oh Lord God, may they see Jesus. May they see that he is their only hope in life and death. May they run to the arms of the loving Savior. So help us to set our minds on things above. Spirit, transform us and change us. And we pray this for the glory of your name. Amen.